Dave, we've seen now all the teams have their rosters made and ones who we think still are making, i.e. Kucherov in Tampa Bay. But which teams do you think, did you like the moves they made, whether it's small, big, or none? Is there any team that you like way more after the deadline than you did before?
Well, I got to say, in terms of teams that I like, you look at the moves that they made in Toronto, and I think that one to me stands out the most. I think they did a lot like what Tampa Bay did last year, which is to go out and target shop the areas of need that they had. They went out and they upgraded in goal, at least in terms of their depth, which suggests to me that there is a level of concern about Freddie Anderson's status moving forward. Kyle Dubas said that they're going to work with Freddie to make sure he's 100% by the time the playoffs roll around. But clearly, you make a move like they did to get David Rittich, there's a level of uncertainty. And then they went out and they got Nick Foligno, who upgrades their top nine. He can play anywhere in that group. He helps kill penalties. He's mean at times when he needs to be. He's hungry. He is understanding of the sort of atmosphere in the city, given the fact that he watched his dad Mike go on a run in Toronto in 1993, and he shared an interesting anecdote from his presser the other day, saying he remembered when the Leafs beat the Blues back in 1993, walked home with his dad through the streets of downtown, and he said, you know, that passion, that parade-like atmosphere, even though it was still the second round, it's still stuck with them to this point. And then they went out and they upgraded on D in terms of their depth, got Ben Hutton, got a defensive center in Riley Nash. Like, they addressed all of the areas that I thought could require some level of attention. If I had to pick a team, I have to pick right here at home in Toronto. I think Kyle Dubas did a fantastic job.
Where do you think the big new shiny acquisition plays?
Nick Foligno, eh? I think what they're going to do early on is give him an opportunity to play higher in the lineup, because you need to know if he's a fit on a line with, say, Tavares and Nylander, which really could use an upgrade. Dubas spoke in glowing terms on Alex Galchenyuk yesterday, and the way he's played, he said, allowed him to sort of refocus some of his attention at the deadline away from acquiring a player of that nature, because he said Galchenyuk's really filled in well. So I think they give Foligno a chance early on to see if he's a fit there, because you know that if he's not, you can plug Zach Hyman right back in there and there's no issue. And then you can play Foligno on a third line, which, even if that is the case, that's still an improvement, because Foligno on a third line would look really good. So I think that's how they approach it early on. You look at the way Sheldon Keefe has managed this roster from the start of the season. He really has explored the different options that he has to work with, so that come playoff time, he has an idea, Strutty, of if he needs to go to something, whether or not it'll work. I think that's been really smart on his part. So that's how I see it playing off in the short term. And whether there's a fit on one of the top two lines or if he needs to play on a third line, I think either way, it's a win for the Leafs.
Is Jack Campbell a starting goaltender? Can they go deep in the playoffs with Campbell as their number one?
I'm not sure yet, Jason. I'm really not. Because in his last couple of games, quite honestly, he hasn't looked like a starting goaltender. His play has been not where it needs to be. Allowed a goal yesterday to Josh Anderson where he cruised down the right wing, patented Josh Anderson-type goal. But he beat him short side. Like, I mean, that just can't go in the net, right? Like, at least you got to make him go across the ice and take his chance. Can't beat him glove side, and he did. And Campbell was very hard on himself after the game. He said, quite honestly, he was embarrassed with his performance and that he cost the team the game. Now, I don't think he needs to go quite that far, because he's been pretty good this year. But, you know, I'll say that about Campbell is that he is certainly not shy to take his share of the blame. That can be a good thing and a bad thing. Good thing in that he doesn't shy away, but a bad thing in that you can't beat yourself up that badly. But the best answer I can say is, you know, he could be, but maybe not. And really the only answer will be to see what he's able to do in the postseason. Until we see that, I won't be able to answer that question assuredly. There have been times where undoubtedly I'd say yes, and then times like Monday against Montreal and, quite frankly, Saturday against Ottawa, where after that game, Leafs won 6-5 against the Sens, but he said he owes the boys a Red Lobster dinner after the game. So, you know, I didn't know Red Lobster was still a thing, but apparently it's big for the Leafs. But anyway, you know, those two games, Jack has not been at his best. So, you know, we'll see. But until the playoffs roll around, I can't say for sure.
Talking with SiriusXM NHL host Dave McCarthy. Dave, last year Tampa Bay goes out and gets Barclay Goodrow and Blake Coleman, and everyone's applauding how great a move that was. And it did turn out great because they made it to the Stanley Cup. Florida brings in Sam Bennett for a pick and you know, a guy who was second rounder last year. And I don't feel it's getting a lot of love. What's the difference between Florida and Bennett? And then you got Tampa and those two guys.
Well, I like, just on the surface, I love the move for Florida. But I think what the difference is that when Tampa made their moves last year to bring in Coleman and Goodrow and sign Bogosian and bring in Luke Shen, add some depth to the blue line, Tampa was a team that everybody thought for 2 or 3 years was on the precipice of contending for a Stanley Cup based on President's trophies, runs deep into the playoffs, exits from the playoffs that were tremendously disappointing, underachievement, so to speak. But everyone looked at Tampa as a team that should be getting close to, if not winning, the Stanley Cup. With Florida, there is none of that foundation there right now. I think there's still some people out there who are not convinced that Florida is for real. I am not one of them. I think they are. But they're still very much in their, I would say, foundational stages of playoff acumen is the best way I can put that. Let's see how they perform when they go into the playoffs. But I think they've got a really good roster. What Bennett does do is help bring a little bit of playoff experience to it. There's a lot of guys on that team that don't have all that much. I mean, Patrick Hornqvist obviously has some. You know, Noel Acciari has some. Keith Yandle has some. Bobrovsky maybe to an extent, but Bennett certainly helps. And Sam Bennett to me is a guy who is built for the postseason. Like, he's a guy that just will really disappoint you in the regular season because of where he was drafted, and he's just not a guy that's going to score 35 goals a year and get you 75 points. It's just not his game. He's not going to do that. But the things that he does well, don't get on the highlights on SportsCenter during the regular season. But man, are they effective in the playoffs. And that's where he always seems to play his best hockey. So to bring him in, I think he lengthens their lineup a little bit, the bottom six. You can move him up the lineup if need be. Really, really smart pickup on the part of Bill Zito and the Florida Panthers, I think.
Dave McCarthy from SiriusXM joins us. Don Waddell said he tried hard, was unable to get a deal done for the Carolina Hurricanes. They got a really good team, but he was unable to do anything to kind of counter what Tampa Bay did. We had him on the DFO Rundown podcast, Frank Saravalli and I, and he was very open about the things he wanted. And, you know, even sent us text yesterday saying, hey, man, like, he was kind of frustrated that he thought he was close on deals and then they never came to fruition at the end of it. You look at, you know, like, there's those three teams, Carolina, Tampa, Florida. But I want your thoughts on the East, Dave. Boston adds Hall. Islanders add two guys up front, Palmieri and Zajac. Of course, the Washington Capitals go big on Anthony Mantha. Even the Penguins adding Jeff Carter. I'm not sure how much he has left. But is there a team you like more now because of their acquisitions in the East?
Yeah, I'll put it this way. The Washington move surprised me because I like Jacob Vrana. I think he's a good player. What they do get in that move is some level of cost certainty, right? Because Mantha is locked in for a number of years and Vrana was coming up on RFA status. He might have cost a little bit more money than Washington would have wanted. Mantha's a good player. I think he'll fit in okay. But I think what the Islanders did was really, really smart. I think those moves that they made, getting Travis Zajac and getting Kyle Palmieri, not unlike what Tampa Bay did last year. They essentially went out and they bought themselves the third line. And now you've got some guys in Zajac and Palmieri who can help shoot at the net from time to time down the lineup. And when they're on the ice, not really hurt you all that much. So I think they needed a little bit of length to that lineup so that all of the scoring responsibility didn't fall on Barzal and Beauvillier and Brock Nelson. Now there's some more options there and some guys with some level of playoff acumen. So I think that was really smart. The system is sound in the island, which is how their success is founded, essentially. And I think we've seen what it can do in the playoffs going to the third round last year against Tampa Bay. To me, if I had to pick right now, it would be the Islanders, then Pittsburgh, and then a toss-up between Boston and Washington right now as the teams in that order to come out of the East. I'm still not sure about Boston. I'm a little concerned about their blue line. They're still really banged up right now. Obviously, some guys will get back by the playoffs, but even fully healthy, they're not what they were even just two or three years ago on the back end, I don't think. I'm a little concerned about Boston, so they would probably be my fourth team if I had to put it in a toss-up between Washington. Probably go with Washington ahead of Boston, but I like this Islanders team a lot. I think I would put them as my pick to come out of the East.
All right. Davey, always good to catch up with you, man. Have yourself a good week. Did you get any new accessories with the staff since we spoke last week?
No, I didn't. I still have my same staff, and I forget the name of the fellow who chirped me last week, but I sent out that video and brought him around to my way of thinking. We're buddies now. Buddies, even after he chirped my staff, called it the shaft of an old hockey stick. I mean, that was just too much. I couldn't let that stand.
No, I saw that. You had a very very passionate rebuttal. That was nice.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. We'll talk to you next week. Have a good one.
Okay, boys.